Good morning, Terry.
Probably the two big things about this session is one, the new Democratic majority in both houses, and the other one being this massive budget deficit. How do you think the dynamics will play out?
I think, Terry, those are going to be the two running stories for the next 2 years. After all, when the voters give one party control of both houses of the legislature and the governorship, the voters, in a sense, are saying, okay, you guys, you said you had some things you wanted to do. Now we're going to take away your excuses. Let's see what you can do.
So is there any initiative, do you think, the new Democratic majority can get through, given the constraints of the deficit?
Well, I think what they can do is they can pass things that don't affect state governments' financing. In other words, if they were to, let's say, impose a mandate on insurance companies to cover autism or certain aspects of autism, now that will cost society something. That would that might, for example, increase insurance rates for health insurance policies, but it wouldn't necessarily increase the narrowly defined cost of state government. So we might see the autism, mandatory coverage of autism. Similarly, when they talk about banning smoking indoors, a very comprehensive ban, including taverns and clubs with no opt-out, again, that would cost money, but not necessarily money that comes out of the accounting ledger of state government. So those are probably the two best examples of almost free public policy that they can vote on.
I know you're concerned about partisanship, and I'm just wondering, with the deficit and the recession, is there really any room for that? Can a lawmaker really afford to posture and grandstand in this session?
You know, I think we have to understand there's a huge difference between the mentality of serving in the majority and serving in the minority. 2 years ago, when a Republican state assembly was dealing with the budget, they didn't like the budget, they didn't like the problems caused by the structural deficit back then, but they knew they had a responsibility to pass a budget, and they did pass a budget initially. And so what's interesting is that when there was a compromise budget, more Republicans ended up voting against it than for it. In other words, it was almost like they were sacrificing their majority. So now that Republicans are in the minority in both houses, I think they're going to feel freer to be ideologically pure.
I know the governor draws the line, or at least publicly, he likes to say that he does not want any increases in income or sales taxes. Is that possible, considering this deficit?
I have to tell you, Terry, that I'm really skeptical. For example, if you go back to the Great Depression, they were reducing the salaries of civil servants. They were laying off tenured professors. Those are the kinds of things that indicate a true financial emergency. Now, I don't sense that the Democratic majority wants to deal with it to the point of those examples that I gave. And so they're probably going to try to do it with a lot of quick and dirty kinds of things and not really resolve the structural deficit.
Mordecai Lee, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for calling, Terry.